The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that silently spreads. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening and welcome to the National Intel Report. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, and today's date is June 5th, 2023. As promised, every month we get him from Germany live and in the studio, actually in the studio far away, but in the studio with the RBN host here, and I'm happy to have him back again, Mr. Harley Schlanger. Harley, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing better. I've gone through some health issues, and I think you kind of know about that a little bit, but not going to harp on that. It's going to be an interesting week for me, and I'll keep you updated on the progress of my treatments this week. But we got you on for 1 hour, and I'm just appreciative to have you for 1 hour every month. That's great. And we got a lot of topics we can talk about here. You just sent me something. I just got back in the studio, and I saw what you've written here, and I think that's a great topic to start off the show with. But also on your website there, I found great stuff on there today. And if we get a chance, I think we had to dip into a couple other topics today. But let's go ahead and start off with this topic you just posted today here, Reviving John F. Kennedy's Vision of Peace. It's a darn good title and a nice article and a great perception on what you think may be happening here. Let's go ahead and start there.
Well, excuse me, the article is about the speech that was given on June 10th, 1963 by President Kennedy. Now, this was just a little more than 8 months after the resolution of the Cuban Missile Crisis, where Kennedy realized we came face to face with the possibility of a nuclear war with the Soviet Union. And Kennedy was under enormous pressure from the Joint Chiefs, from the most of his administration, the Defense Department, intelligence community, especially the CIA, to make a dramatic action against the Soviet missiles being placed in Cuba. And Kennedy thought that was necessary, but he was also a little bit suspect that this was something that was being done because of the reaction against him when he failed a year earlier, or 2 years earlier, or actually it was a year earlier, to back up the Bay of Pigs invasion with U.S. military support. So he was, on the one hand, aware that he was being pushed by the war hawks of the day, the real Cold Warriors, but also aware that a misstep could wipe out the human race. And so even as he was talking with his advisors, he sent his brother, the Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy, to meet with Anatoly Dobrynin, who was the Russian ambassador in Washington. And they worked out a deal. And the deal was that the Russians would take the missiles out of Cuba, and within a couple of months, the U.S. would take the Jupiter missiles out of Turkey, but that would be done undercover, not as a quid pro quo. Now, this was important for Kennedy to save face. And the really important thing here, besides the technical questions of how you avoid a war, keep in mind, Kennedy did set up a blockade of Cuba. And we nearly came to blows with Russian ships that were turned back. So I think the important question then is, what did Kennedy learn from this? And he learned that you really have to talk to the other side. And you really have to realize that they have legitimate security concerns and also pressures. Khrushchev was under pressures from his military-industrial complex. Mm-hmm. And so the June 10th speech in 1963 was Kennedy reaching out to the Russians and talking to them, as well as the Americans, about why we have to have peace.
Right.
And that peace is something that should be not just an American issue, but an issue for all people.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I do believe that Donald Trump was kind of on that mission when he first got in office. Of course, the Russiagate thing kind of changed things. He had changed his tune and his attitude towards Russia. I couldn't agree more that we definitely need peace, transparency and peace and fair trade and honest and fair trade. A while back, probably a month before Tucker Carlson was fired from Fox or just let go, I remember seeing Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on the show there talking about the assassination of John F. Kennedy and also Bobby Kennedy. And you mentioned in your article that this June 10th speech kind of sealed the fate, doom fate for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Do you think it also... touching on the basis of that, the intelligence community assassinated Bobby Kennedy and John F. Kennedy. You think that also helped seal his fate?
Well, I think there are a couple of points here that are important. One is that the people who killed John Kennedy never were brought to account. It was not Lee Harvey Oswald, or if he was part of the operation, he was a small part. But by bringing it up, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is opening the door for an honest discussion of what's gone wrong in the United States the last 60 years.
Right.
You know, we've been six decades, we've been in permanent war. We've had, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, we've had a war machine that's dominated everything. And what most people don't realize is that they're not protecting us from enemies of the United States. They're protecting the global banks and the global corporations from other countries that are being looted by them.
Right.
And it's not in our interest for that looting to occur, because now, since there's not enough loot that can be grabbed to cover the incredible debt that's been run up by the Federal Reserve and the commercial banks, now they have to loot the American people.
Yeah.
And that's what the Green Deal is. That's what the Biden policy is.
Right.
And so, you know, by bringing this up, and I'm not endorsing Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for president, I am endorsing the fact that he's raised an issue that should be discussed.
Yeah.
And you can see how important it is by how hysterical the mainstream media, and especially the Democratic Party, is about discussing this.
Yeah, they never really have any kind of logical answer for the question of why have you sealed the records for another 70 years. If there's nothing to hide, then why keep the documents sealed up here? Just understanding.
Well, hey, Steve, on that point, there's something really important that Ray McGovern, who's a former CIA operative and analyst who's been working with the Schiller Institute, was on an interview with Judge Napolitano recently. And Napolitano told him that Napolitano had asked Trump why he couldn't release the documents as he had promised. And Trump said, if you had seen what I saw in those documents, you would know why they can't be released. And the fact that Napolitano raised that on the air with Ray McGovern shows the importance of the initiative by Bobby Kennedy Jr. What could be in those documents that would have scared Trump away from releasing them, other than the probability that had he released them, he would have been targeted for assassination?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I've done a lot of research on this topic, and I'm quite certain I'm correct on this, on my theory that the intelligence were definitely involved in it, maybe several agencies, intelligence agencies, definitely. Who has the benefit of assassination of JFK? Lyndon B. Johnson, of course. And I do believe you're right. Oswald was nothing more than a patsy. He may have had a small part in it because he was working with the FBI. But this is stuff they don't want you to see. And I don't know, you know, it's different here. I'm not really sure, Harley, if America found out that our intelligence community came together and LBJ was part of it, assassinated our own president. I'm not sure. I used to think that maybe that might collapse our government to show how corrupt it really is if you can kill your own president. But I'm not certain of that anymore. I'm not certain that actually would bring down our government. I'm not sure. Well, what do you think?
Well, don't forget that there's more to this than just the Kennedy assassination. Mm-hmm. We've just had the Durham report, which shows that the FBI was involved in criminal activity against the Trump presidency.
Right.
That they had, as he said, no justification to launch the investigation, which they did. We also have the whole report on the Hunter Biden laptop, how the intelligence community conducted illegal operations to try to blame this on the Russians to keep it out of the presidential campaign. We also have reporting from, among others, a former New York Times correspondent who wrote about the fraud of Russiagate from top to bottom. So we've now seen the dirty side of the intelligence community. Yep. We've also seen, again, with these leaks of the Pentagon documents, that we're being lied to about the Ukraine war. Now, we're being told, oh, Ukraine's about to launch a great offensive and it's going to destroy Russia because Putin has miscalculated and has run the country into the ground. People who are on the scene, including people like Scott Ritter and Douglas McGregor, who has very good sources, say that all this story coming from the U.S. is Ukrainian propaganda designed to ramp up the contributions in money and weapons from the United States to Ukraine. So I think people are becoming more aware of the fact that we've been lied to, that there's a power behind the scenes, behind the curtain, that's destroying our country and destroying our lives. The question is, do the American people have enough gumption to get up and do something about it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the real issue.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the answer to that one is. I really don't, because I attended a lot of these anti-war protests back in the day, starting with the Gulf War. And those crowds were pretty decent. I mean, nothing like the 60s and protesting Vietnam. But, I mean, I go up to the capital of Salt Lake City, Utah, 10,000 people strong, and elderly people and grandmas and grandpas pushing their grandchildren in little carts and stuff. And that number has come down. It's dwindled down to nothing now. You go to an anti-war protest now, you may get 100, 200 people, maybe 300 max. I'm not sure, Harley, of how to stimulate people, to energize them. I'm not sure what the final straw to break the camel's back is for American people to get off their duff and actually stand up for something and push back hard.
I think we're seeing a perfect storm coming together of the fraud of the military operation in Ukraine combined with the collapse of the financial system.
Yeah.
And I know the stock market's going up, so people say, oh, I guess there's not really a crisis. We haven't begun to address the real debt problem. This debt ceiling debate was a fraud from top to bottom. Corporations are carrying loads of debt that they can never cover.
Right.
Banks are involved in speculation up to $2 quadrillion in financial derivatives and other funny money. So, you know, I think if we saw something where they realized that we couldn't continue to pay Social Security, that people lost their pensions, maybe that would be the spark that's needed. And then, of course, all this other question of who's behind it. You tie that to the permanent war policy. You tie that to the assassination, not just of John Kennedy, but of Martin Luther King, of Malcolm X, of Bobby Kennedy, the attempted assassination of George Wallace, the many attempts against Charles de Gaulle. There's an International Assassination Bureau that's being run by the same people who control the banks and the central banks and the Federal Reserve. So we have an education process that we have to take people through. But I think if people are hurting enough, even more so than now. I know a lot of people are hurting badly because of the economy, but if people are hurting enough, maybe they'll be open to the kinds of discussions that we need to have. And I do think that's why Donald Trump won in 2016. because Hillary Clinton underestimated the damage that the Obama administration did to the average American.
Well, I would agree with that 100%. You know, looking at the debt ceiling here, again, this is crazy stuff, the debt ceiling. The government borrowing money to basically pay its remaining debt that it owes, and, of course, squeezing middle class and anybody else that can pretty much get their money out of. And this goes on year after year. They seem to do this. This is like a normal pattern here. But I looked over the number here for the debt ceiling here increases for next year. $886 billion in defense spending for fiscal 2024, which is up 3% over the year before, and $895 billion proposed to go in 2025. So when you make the comment that the United States needs war to keep their economy afloat, I think you're absolutely correct. I mean, just look at this this debt ceiling, what they've just okayed. And there's never been an intention to ever pay down the debt. I don't understand how this is not illegal, hardly. How can you keep doing this year after year, showing no fiscal responsibility? They're not budgeting whatsoever. You and I are taught and learned to budget our money and not to go beyond our means. And the government does this on a regular basis. And this last debt ceiling increase with the socialists of Congress, I call them socialists, most of them, the rhinos going along with the socialist Democrats, we're just getting further and further, deeper and deeper into debt. And maybe that's all the plan, the design, Harley, to bring us into the central bank digital currency. Maybe this is all that's the plan already, is just to collapse this economy and bring us into the digital currency.
Well, the idea of the controlled disintegration has definitely been there going back to the 70s and the Jimmy Carter administration, Paul Volcker. But what they mean by that is that you run to the end of a technology and a capability for making profits, and then you have to go to a new area, so you have to destroy the old. Well, that's what they say they mean. What they're really talking about, though, is how can they bring the whole world under a central bank dictatorship? That's what the Great Reset is about. And the attempt to do that, I mean, people focus on Klaus Schwab. He's a nobody. I mean, he's been put up there as a spokesman, probably because he's so scary and frightening, reminds people of, you know, Henry Kissinger on steroids or something.
Yeah.
but you know, the real power is with people like King Charles, who is the one who initially proposed the Great Reset. People don't know that. The City of London, the Lords and Ladies of London, working together with Jamie Dimon, with Larry Fink of BlackRock, they're the ones who are pushing this. Now, why is it? Because the total debt is overwhelming. But their plan is to figure out a way to hyperinflate so the banks can borrow money that's cheap in large amounts to pay down the debt, mm-hmm. while the average person is cut off from credit and won't be able to do that. But the more important thing is that this does not make the economy solvent. Producing liquidity may enable you to kick the can down the road for another 6 months or a year, but it doesn't make the firms and the banks solvent. And they have no way of dealing with that except through a hyperinflation, mm-hmm. in which they can pay down their debts. And then they'll have plenty of money available to buy up all the houses, all the factories, all the small towns, anything of any value, which they're already doing. That's why you have people like Bill Gates and BlackRock buying up farmland everywhere, including in Ukraine.
Well, I read an article the other day that talked about regional banks will die. They'll be completely gone. I think we're going to commercial break. And we are. I'll go back to that story when we come back. Again, my special guest, Harley Schlanger, in this hour here. And stay tuned. More to come.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Won't be out in the morning too, morning. Please walk me out in the morning dew sometime.
Before I went to commercial break, I made a comment here about regional banks are going to die. They're going to be absorbed by the bigger banks, eventually leading to the pretty much the central bank digital currency. Would you agree with that?
Well, if you look back over the last 40 years, mm-hmm. there are several turning points which have brought us to this point, which are useful to look at in making a forecast. One of the ones I really used was the Texas savings and loans and the savings and loans in general, because the savings and loans were a protected entity for a specific purpose, to help people afford houses, being able to buy houses with a interest rate that was not exorbitant. The savings banks paid you interest on your savings, and they served the community very well. But they were also very liquid. And so the commercial banks went in and used a whole series of things, including legislation from the first 4 years of the Reagan administration, to take away the special status of savings and loans. And they were collapsed in the mid-80s, and all their cash was gobbled up and led to the speculation that eventually turned the housing market into this huge debt driver that blew out in 2008. Now, if you look at that, clearly they're using the various instruments they have today, including the high interest rates, which come after a period of quantitative easing, just massive credit and flow of liquidity. They're using that for something. Now, I don't quite understand yet how the central bank digital currency will serve their interests. I think they're using that to scare people. I think what they're really trying to do is force governments to give up control over spending and turn it over to the banks. Because the one thing the largest banks and financial institutions want is to be able to control all aspects of government. And that's what they're trying to do. And I think they have several different plans in place, of which the central bank digital currencies represent one. But I think they have several other things that we're looking at. And that, by the way, these are proposals that are opposed by most governments in the world.
Yeah.
It's only in places like the United States and Great Britain and Germany that these ideas are acceptable, the Great Reset and so on, the Green New Deal. Most of the world is rebelling against it. That's why there's a de-dollarization going on. So rather than think that this is a done deal and they're going to use the collapse to impose the social credit system, and by the way, they already have whole aspects of the social credit system in the United States. But I think what we should realize is that we have allies around the world. If the Americans wanted to break this power of the central banks, we could do it by joining with the people who are going for de-dollarization. Having the dollar as the world's currency is not a great benefit for the average American. It's been a great benefit for the billionaires.
Yeah.
So the idea of trading in national currencies and using credit not for paying off bad debt, as you were referring to earlier, but use credit to actually go into the productive economy to produce something of value. That's how you actually have economic growth and progress.
Yeah, pretty much. I think it's been the thinking that America has to be involved in crisis and a war somewhere, or the threat of a war, in order to keep their economy stable and keep it propped up. And it's been something I think we're all kind of tired of. I'm 61 years old. I remember Vietnam quite well. What a failure that is. I look at what's going on now with Ukraine and Russia, and this is a proxy war against Russia. This is our another chapter, I guess, of Vietnam. It's going to be a failure. I do believe the Russians are going to win sooner or later. This last attack on the Kremlin by a drone strike is pretty serious stuff. I'm thinking, I don't know what you're thinking on this, but I'm thinking that Putin has probably said, you know, this has been over a year now, and I'm getting a little tired of this, and I think I'm going to have to ramp this thing up and nip this in the bud really pretty fast. What do you think?
Well, I think that's what the Russian strategy has been. Because we live in the West and we have a media which is controlled, we're getting complete lies and nonsense about what's actually happening. And the reality is, if you listen, if you had access to the Ukrainian media, which most Americans don't, where you can see some of the statements day to day by Zelensky and Podolyak and some of his top advisors, they're in despair right now. Without the money coming from the United States, they don't have a government.
That's right.
And here's the irony. While we have this fake debt ceiling debate, which includes austerity, you know, people are focused on the spending, but it's also spending cuts. We're cutting things that are necessary, including real infrastructure, not
right.
Green nonsense, but real infrastructure. We don't have money for school teachers. We don't have money for doctors and hospitals. But we do have money to pay for doctors and hospitals and school teachers and police and firemen in Ukraine.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
So
yeah,
this is part of the fraud that's involved in this.
Yeah, you think that would get people pretty riled up? Money for them and not for us. We're kind of circling the drain here on our economy. We'll come right back to you again. Harley Schlanger is my guest today in the first hour, and we're going to touch more on this. Lots of great stuff coming your way. Stay tuned.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Harley, there's an old saying, I think I get this correctly, if I'm not, please correct me, but there's an old saying, when America has a cold, the world gets a flu. How close is the rest of the world watching this next coming election, 2024, between Biden and maybe Donald Trump or Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? How close are they watching this? Because it does matter who wins the Oval Office in the United States for the rest of the world. How close are they watching this?
Well, they always watch what's happening in the United States closely because they don't want to be caught off guard and be subjected to regime change or coups or assassinations. But I think there's something different that's going on now that really we have to understand and appreciate in order to determine a strategy for change in the United States. And that is that the fear that was once provoked by American power is not there anymore. The countries are looking at what happened in Afghanistan, looking at what happened in Iraq. Look what we did in Libya, where we could destroy the country and kill the leader, but we couldn't do anything to rebuild the country. They're looking at the American policy in Ukraine, which they see as a war against Russia. Much of the world is now saying, we've got to find a way outside of America. And this goes back to, I don't know if you remember this, but it may be before your time, but the non-aligned movement in the 1950s, which was Nehru, it was Nasser, it was Indonesia, It was the idea that you don't have to be in either the Western or the Eastern, U.S., NATO, or the Soviet Warsaw Pact, but there's a third alternative. And that was crushed through assassinations. I mean, Indira Gandhi was assassinated. Bhutto of Pakistan was assassinated. Lots of African leaders were assassinated. And so that was snuffed out. But now there's a change underway. And so they're looking at the United States, and I can tell you, I do a lot of radio programs in countries like Pakistan and Algeria, Brazil. And the question they keep asking about the U.S. election is, do you have any serious candidates? Now, they, of course, much of the world has bought into the mainstream media lines about Trump, although there are people who support Trump all over the world. But they look at Biden. They see he's not a leader. They look at Harris. No leadership there. They're not convinced that DeSantis is anything much to hold a candle to. In fact, I would argue that not just being Trump light, I think DeSantis is a product of the worst elements of the old Bush networks. So what you have around the rest of the world is they're saying, if there's nothing obvious about leadership in the United States, where can we turn? What can we do? And I think that's what's starting to happen. And I can tell you on the debt ceiling debate, countries that have debt, like a lot of the African countries, look at the U.S. debt and they say, why are we under so much pressure from the International Monetary Fund when the U.S. debt is over $30 trillion?
Right. Well, you made a good point there that we're not quite what we used to be. We can't intimidate anybody with just the Knights. This is just the name saying the United States. It doesn't intimidate anybody anymore. But leading into that, an understanding of that's the threat, just our name. The United States, we're a mighty force, military force to be dealt with. And then you look at what the Pentagon has been doing for the last couple of years, Harley, and it makes no sense whatsoever. If they wanted to keep that up as to be an intimidating force throughout the world and to control other countries, nations, and of course their economies through threat and using sanctions, then why has the Pentagon gone over to this woke side of and liberalism, and what they've destroyed our military? So why didn't they stick with the plan that was working in the past? What's happened here that our military has gone woke and simply the morale is down and people are exiting, getting out of the military, and they're having a hard time recruiting now? That doesn't make sense. If somebody wants to keep up the image of toughness, they've gone to the opposite direction now.
Well, I think that's why you have to look at someone like Henry Kissinger to get a sense of what's happened. The problem with the military is that our power is primarily, if we use it, we can evaporate a country, whether it's nuclear weapons, whether it's what we did, for example, in Fallujah in Iraq, you know, where we have enormous military power. But you can't win a war that way. You can just destroy something. And so the question is, has been, what exists between mutual and assured destruction and the ability to protect your country? The answer is simple. You need to have a strong economy and work with other countries to help them develop. There's no reason for most of the confrontation in the world. That's the importance of John Kennedy's June 10th speech from 1963. You know, if I may just read a quote or two from it,
sure,
you get a real idea of what Kennedy was starting to turn to as a change from a cold warrior. He said, "What kind of peace do I mean? What kind of peace do we seek? Not a Pax Americana enforced on the world by American weapons of war. Not the peace of the grave or the security of the slave. I'm talking about genuine peace, the kind of peace that makes life on earth worth living. The kind that enables men and nations to grow and to hope and to build a better life for their children. Not merely peace for Americans, but peace for all men and women. Not merely peace in our time, but peace for all time." And he then concluded a little bit later by saying that, look, we abhor the idea of communism. But we still admire things that the Russians have done in space, as our allies in World War II. No one lost more people than the Russians fighting the Nazis. And he ends by saying, if we cannot end now our differences, at least we can make the world safe for diversity. And he didn't mean woke diversity.
Right.
And he said, for in the final analysis, our most basic common link is that we all inhabit this small planet. We all breathe the same air. We all cherish our children's future, and we are all mortal. Now, let's translate that into economic policy. What was Kennedy doing? He was moving against the Federal Reserve.
Yep.
In June of 1963, the same time he gave this speech, he issued a declaration, an executive order, mm-hmm. that established Treasury notes as opposed to Federal Reserve bills mm-hmm. as the basis for the dollar system. Now, Kennedy believed that the way you achieve peace is you have a strong nation, but the strength has to be primarily economic. We've abandoned that. What we're seeing with the military that you were just talking about, Steve, is the result not just of woke ideology. It's the result of destroying what we knew about how we became a strong nation. Physical economic production, infrastructure. The United States used to be the wonder of the world with the machines that we had, the highway system, the air traffic system, and so on. Now we're behind many, many countries. There are better rail systems in parts of Africa than we have in the United States. So once you destroy this idea of technological optimism, that we can produce a better future. Once you take that away, and then your economy is based on looting other countries, your military becomes an instrument of oppression as opposed to an instrument of liberation. Mm-hmm. And I would argue that after World War II, we were in a position where we could do enormous good in the world. Mm-hmm. And the problem was that Eisenhower was moving back and forth on this. He had some good ideas, some not such good ideas. Kennedy came in, and Kennedy realized that a colonial world was not a good world. An imperial system was no good. He was killed. We haven't had a president since then who actually understood on a deeper level what was happening. Ronald Reagan did a couple of things with the, in fact, he brought LaRouche in on the Strategic Defense Initiative. Mm-hmm. Trump had some ideas on economics, but I think he got undercut by people like Steve Mnuchin, who was mm-hmm. Working for the same people that Larry Fink works for.
Yeah.
So I think the question is, can the American people find in ourselves the sense of leadership, which is not we can beat the hell out of any other country physically, but that we can show what our system actually can do when it's applied.
You know, I don't think the United States, well, it's always been the philosophy, I think, they don't know how to make war and peace, Harley. It's got to be made in war or potential war crisis. You know, not only was JFK going to take down the Federal Reserve, he was also, I believe, going to take down the FBI, realizing that it was corrupt, and I believe
well,
he
the
said
CIA.
That,
he,
yeah,
he said he was
talking about
shattered yep. into 1,000 pieces.
Yeah, and that's what I was coming to. Yeah, he's going to shatter it to 1,000 pieces. I think that might have sealed his fate also there. We had no idea that corruption.
Well, there were a lot of reasons
that
the establishment didn't like him, but the main one was they thought they could control him because they thought he was his father's son. Remember, mm-hmm. his father, Joseph P. Kennedy, was quite a character, but he was also quite corrupt.
Yeah, he was.
The one thing that's interesting about Joseph Kennedy is that FDR knew how corrupt he was, so he put him in charge of the Securities and Exchange Commission because it's like the fox guarding the chicken coop.
Yeah, I believe he was also a bootlegger, my father told me.
He was a bootlegger. Horrible womanizer and you know, tried to pass that on to his sons. But essentially, they thought that John Kennedy was corruptible. Mm-hmm. And he may have been when he first came in, but something happened between the Bay of Pigs and the Cuban Missile Crisis that caused him to take a deep look at this question of the mortality, the fact that we are mortal, but that we can have an eternal effect. And in that sense, Kennedy was evolving spiritually in this time in the White House. And I don't mean that by any particular religion, but by looking at the potential that exists in the human mind, human creativity, and that this is our solution. I mean, among the things he was looking at was a proposal that LaRouche became a leading advocate for, of bringing water from Alaska to the western states of the United States as a way of dealing with the water program problem. Kennedy believed in technology. Yeah. He believed that we could work together with other countries to explore space, to solve problems with dealing with bad weather and things of that sort. Mm-hmm. So there was an element that was shaped by World War II, his experience in World War II, that made him different from his father. And at a certain point, there's a famous story. After Kennedy, in June of 63, enacted the executive order establishing treasury bills, Harold Macmillan, who was the prime minister in Great Britain, said, "We've lost our Jack," meaning that they thought they could control Kennedy through the relationship of the dollar and the pound, and they could use the deflationary push against the dollar to force the United States to have to redeem dollars with gold. In other words, they were trying to steal the gold from the United States by forcing down the value of the dollar.
Right.
Now, that's what caused Nixon to end the gold reserve system.
Right.
And instead of panicking, Nixon should have gone to London and said, "You bastards, cut this out.
Right.
We have a strong economy. You're developing into a rust heap."
Yeah. Well, I agree. That was a downside of going away from the gold backed currency there. They just gave a legal ways of basically printing money out of thin air. I mean, it's a common thing you could see happening in the future here. Here you don't have the gold standard, and you say, well, we can just print it up when we need it, you know, and this is going to happen on down the line there. Sooner or later, your money's going to be worth less and less, the devaluation of the currency. You know, I was thinking about this just a second here, knowing how dirty J. Edgar Hoover was and how he used blackmail to control people. I guess he didn't have enough on John F. Kennedy, maybe, and that's why they had to take him out. What do you think?
Well, I think he probably had the whole Kennedy dossier. I'm sure he did. Mm-hmm. And the question that poses is, you know, what would he want from Kennedy? Mm-hmm. And would Kennedy be willing to submit to blackmail?
Yeah.
And I think they probably concluded that he wouldn't submit to blackmail. I mean, the one thing, again, without being too trying to read tea leaves and things of that sort. Mm-hmm. Remember, Kennedy served in World War II as a PT boat captain who had his boat rammed and sunk, and he actually physically saved some of the men from that ship. He was in combat. He faced death in war. And so he was probably a lot tougher than most of us have as an image when we think of Kennedy as a womanizer or Kennedy as a rich kid. And so I think it's hard to know what Hoover could have done. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, Bobby Kennedy was a real nasty guy, and he knew Hoover very well from the McCarthy period.
Right.
And Bobby Kennedy may have been in a position to blackmail Hoover because he knew a lot about Hoover.
Yeah.
And Hoover had a lot of skeletons in his closet.
He sure did. That's the funny part about it. He went after it. He found out homosexuality. It went in his little black book. But behind closed doors there, I think he was one of the ones they were chasing, you know, as far as blackmailing goes. He had quite a colorful history here. Going back to something real quick here, I wanted to get your perspective on this. Their rationale and reasoning why we're now seeing the FBI, of course, FBI we know is corrupt. They've Russiagate going along with Obama and Hillary and the whole thing, and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and trying to get rid of Donald Trump when he was in office. We know how corrupt they are. Then we see this release of 10,000 photographs from the Hunter Biden laptop. I have not seen any photos, but I'm wondering if the FBI has been blocking it and covering for the Bidens, the corruption of the Biden family. And it seems to be a lot of corruption there under the money under the table. Then why did they release 10,000 photos? Is this one of those humiliation factor things? We're going to break your will, your spirit, because we're not going to do anything about it. You can look at it. We can expose it, and we're not going to act on it. Christopher Wray's in office here. He hasn't been removed. He's not going to be removed. They're not going to do anything about this whatsoever. So we come back after this commercial break. What's your view on why they would release 10,000 photos? Stay tuned.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Closing comments here before we leave and start the second hour of the National Intel Report. Arthur Schlanger, 10,000 photos released. What's your take on that?
Well, I think there are two problems the FBI has, and the people who run the FBI. One is they wanted to have an option to get rid of Biden. And I think that's partly the reason they didn't just destroy a lot of this evidence of the corruption. On the other hand, they fear Donald Trump. So They have the same problem that every American has. Who do we go to? How do we change things? And, you know, I think that's the real issue. I think the FBI is a corrupt tool that's in the hands of the what some people call the deep state, what I call the permanent bureaucracy. Yeah. And, you know, they may have outlived their purpose, but you still have many other agencies that can do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, until we clean out the whole political system, we're going to be stuck with this problem.
You know, we talk about deep state. When I grew up as a kid, I remember hearing about shadow government. I would assume that that's synonymous with the deep state, or is it totally different? Deep state versus shadow government?
No, it's the same thing. And that's why I think permanent bureaucracy is a better term, because these are people who are embedded into the institutions. Many of them have a revolving door where they go to the private sector for a while, then come back in. This is like the Dulles brothers. You know, there's a whole history of this. But let me just say one thing, Steve, that I think we're having this conference this Saturday, an online conference to commemorate the 60th anniversary of Kennedy's speech from June 10th, 1963. It's going to be a discussion which pretty much like what we've been having, but with people from all over the world reflecting on the importance of finally breaking through on the Kennedy assassination to free the American people from this 60-year nightmare. And so if people want to listen to it, it will be starting at 10 a.m. Eastern Time this Saturday, and it will be available at the SchillerInstitute.com website. That's S-C-H-I-L-L-E-R Institute.com.
Okay. Sounds great. Harley, you want to give us your website for your great resource articles? Like I said, I got a whole bunch here listed in front of me. I wish I had you on for another hour. I could go through some of these. I'm interested in what you've got to say about these. I read them. But your perspective is very intriguing, very interesting. Go ahead and give us your website.
I wish it were an hour earlier here in Europe so I could join you for another hour.
I understand totally. I do.
People can write to me and get access to our website, to my blog page on our website. And I did receive some emails last time I was on. You can reach me at harleysch@gmail.com. That's just HARLEYSCH. At Gmail, and I'll be happy to answer your questions, listen to your ideas, and start up a dialogue.
Yeah, you get some pretty good emails sometimes?
Oh, yeah. Last time I was on, I got about 15, 20 emails from your listeners.
Yeah, they're a sharp group. They really are. Very sharp group of people there. Appreciate them. Harley, I appreciate you coming on tonight. I really do taking the time to come on. I know it's early in the morning for you there, but... Again, we're going to do this every month. I believe we're on schedule for July. And
right.
Maybe a little bit different in August because you're taking some vacation time, which is definitely needed. But I guess we're going to see you next July and the first Monday in July.
First correct? Monday in July. It's already in my calendar.
Sounds great, Harley. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And take care of yourself. Health, happiness. Take care of yourself, Harley.
Okay, Steve. You too.
All right. Second hour coming up. Stay tuned. The National Intel Report.
It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.